extra material, I wanted to just give a little bit of an overall goal, bunch of overall goals, thoughts, things I want to accomplish in this year, a little bit of an introduction. I guess the goals are really twofold. Number one is to give over knowledge, information, as well as to give over skills. In terms of knowledge, I guess when I talk about knowledge, I like to talk about two different types of knowledge. One is yediyas halavol, shas, and all over the place. Things like what are the difference between kachim kalim versus kachay kachim. Things like what is the mitzvah of shicha all about? When is it meiser ani and when is it meiser sheni and when is it meiser rishon and what's trumas meisras and stuff like basic knowledge of mishnayos in areas that are not moed. That I don't plan on covering too much in this year. Towards the end, hopefully we'll break out of the world of moed, a little bit to nashim nezikin, and eventually maybe the yardei world a little bit. Try to, as the year progresses, try to give you this in a more, more broad area. Probably in the beginning we'll start off with more of the moed stuff. In any event, that's not the real major goal of Yediyas in this particular shiur. I plan on doing more of what I like to call the ABCs of Lamdas, the basic machloksim, basic shitas, basic hakiras, basic information. And obviously, it's called the Gemara methodology shiur. So in addition to the knowledge, we're going to try our best to talk a little bit about the systematizing and the organization and the methodology of the learning to try to like almost lay out the moves that, I guess, briskers would use. I plan on organizing the shiur by the move, not by the sugya. So I may cover 4 or 5 sugyas per shiur. The goal would be to talk about how, look at this particular type of hakira, maybe give 6 or 7 examples of it, and, you know, the rishonim that it explains. And the goal would be to, again, really focus on the move, more the methodological move, more than the information. However, if you pay attention, you take notes, and you look stuff up, certainly it would be very, very beneficial. Not, I imagine some people will pay attention and not get everything. Some people will get something. And some people even look stuff up. You look stuff up, you'll really walk out a tremendous amount. I think probably on average, each day we should cover about, depending on the day, between 30 and 80 makoros, which is really a lot. You know, we're not going to probably see very, very little inside, if anything. And so if you do look like, if you want to look that stuff up, so you could, if you remember this stuff, you'd walk out with, again, you know, if you could pick up 80 or so ma'amar komas a week, shitas every shonim. A gemara, machlok is here and there, 3 or 4 shitas here, and then an achron or 2, whatever it is. And 5 sugis, you put it together, it adds up. There really is a lot to be gained in terms of that, both in terms of knowledge and in terms of skills. Beyond that, again, I encourage you to look up the stuff. You're more than just listen and have it sink in. There's a lot of value in that as well. There's a lot of value in the mechanics and the moving, et cetera, et cetera. And lastly, the moves, the information, et cetera, et cetera. The last thing I wanted to say before I really begin is that I made a list of all the methodological moves I wanted to develop. The first one is probably a little bit more of a simplistic move. Not that Torah will be that much more simplistic. Maybe it won't be. But those of you who are interested, whatever it is, you should be aware that this is probably a little bit more of an easier shear than most of them. However, I wouldn't sweat it either way. Looking around the room, it looks like there's a nice variety of levels, which is fantastic. It makes it twice as challenging for me. However, maybe more. I'll try my best to explain the basic concepts, and I'll ask people to forgive me if I explain too much, and I'll ask people to forgive me if I don't explain enough. Feel free to just say, hey, Rabbi Horn, what does that word mean? And I'll try my best to explain and give a little bit of background information. Okay, the first thing I wanted to speak about is covering the challah Friday night. The truth is, there's a major discussion in the Rishonim and Poskim as to where it comes from. The Torah quotes a Yerushalmi. The Torah is found in, 271? Reish, Ayin Aleph. Whatever, if you look, it'd be Siftes. He writes, the reason why we cover the challah Friday night is in order to solve a kadimas habrachos issue. Because the halacha is, in general, we have an order for brachos. First, if you have 2 fruits in front of you, you can't just make any bracha you want. You have to make a specific bracha, one in front of the other. So, for example, we make first hamotzi, then it'd be a mezonos, then it'd be a hagafin, ha'etz, hadam, shahakol. If you have an apple and a banana, first you make the ha'etz on the apple, then the banana. So that's the case. Friday night, you get to your suda, and what are you supposed to, bracha you're supposed to make first? Hamotzi, because it comes first. The problem is, if you make a hamotzi, You can't eat the bread because you're not allowed to eat before you make Kiddush. Therefore, what should you make first? Hagafen. But you're going to make Hagafen while there's Hamotzi right there. That's out of order, so to speak. In the Musar sense, it embarrasses the bread. Have you heard that phraseology and not understand why bread would be embarrassed? Only Friday night when it's not covered and during the week it's okay? It's not because it's any big day Shabbos. The pshat is that usually you make Hamotzi first. You're making other brachas in front of it. So it's ke'ilu, you're disgracing or showing a lack of kavod apas, lack of kavod for the bread. And therefore, there's a kadimas habrachos. That's what the Yerushalmi says, and that's what the Torah seems to quote. Yeah? Because then you can't eat the bread until you make Kiddush. Supposed to make Kiddush. Better to make Kiddush on grape juice or wine.
Why is it still German to make Hamotzi? I have to give the brachos more important than water.
Apparently, you mean, why don't you make a Hamotzi, then make Kiddush, and then eat the bread? I guess that's more of a hefsek. Yeah, I guess that, yeah. Okay. The second suggestion the Torah makes, the Torah offers, is that it's a zecher leman. It commemorates the month. And there's a couple nafkaminas. One potential nafkamina is what the Mishnah Berurah writes, and exactly in Simon Sifkat Mem Aleph, the Mishnah Berurah writes, let's say you make Kiddush on challah. What's the halacha? Would you have to cover it or not? L'charich, dependent on Shai. If the reason why you cover the bread is what? To commemorate the mun, then what? Absolutely, you're still commemorating the mun. But if the only reason you're covering the bread is to solve the Hagafin problem, then there's no Hagafin problem. You don't need to cover the bread in order to solve it. Therefore, the halacha is whether you, it says Mishnah Berurah, it's machlokas achron, it's the naf community to the Shaila. What's the halacha in terms of covering this, the bread? You know, depends on what the reason is. What? For Shabbos morning, you could probably say Kiddush on bread also if you have nothing else. I know it looks funny because it's just Hamotzi, but yeah. Next, there's a halacha, there's a minhag to cover. Mizonos. Would you have to cover mizonos? So let's say you're having Kiddush Shabbos morning, and there's lakshin kugel on the table, maybe there's some cookies or biscuits or crackers or whatever else, just piece cake. Would you have to cover that as well? So Mishal Bechuk was very machmer. He used to cover that all the time because he felt if the reason why you're covering the bread is in order to prevent the bread from being embarrassed, so to speak, a kadima sabrachos issue, there's a hierarchy of precedence. So just like hamotzi comes before the hagafin, so too mizonos comes for hagafin. You'd have to cover that as well. However, if the other reason is correct, if the reason why we cover the bread is zecher leman, like the Torah says in his own name, not like in the name of the Yerushalmi, it makes no sense to cover any mizonos. Next, there's a machlokas poskim if you have to cover the challah on top and on the bottom, or just on the top. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to write the reason why is on the top and on the bottom, and that's the halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch writes the halacha is supposed to cover the top and on the bottom in Siftes. And most people have some type of like challah tray. If not, you have a plate. If not, you have a tablecloth. Whatever people have, but the Shulchan Aruch writes supposed to have a cover on top and cover on bottom, and that is actually our minhag. Where does that come from? Why does that make any sense? Probably to commemorate the mun, which had dew, tal, both above and below. If the goal is just to cover it so it doesn't see the bread, it's kilu put away. As long as it's put away on top, you're okay. You don't need this particular cover, a specific cover on the bottom. That'd be another nafkamina. A fourth one that the Mishnah Berurah brings. When you cover the challah Friday night, when can you uncover it? When are you supposed to uncover it? How long must it remain covered for? So if you believe the reason why you're covering the bracha, if the reason why you're covering the challah is to solve the kadimas habrachos issues, to put away the grape juice, that the grape juice shouldn't see the bread, etc., so when should you be able to put it away? Exactly. And that's what the Prima Gadim holds. The Prima Gadim actually says it's true for all reasons, but the Prima Gadim holds once you're done making Kiddush, game over. While other poskim, the Prisha, the Chayyadim, say, no, you're supposed to have it covered even further. Says the Prisha, you're supposed to have it covered just until the Hamotzi. And the Chayyadim says you're supposed to cover it even during the Hamotzi. Well, if the whole goal is to commemorate, if the goal is to solve the Kedimus HaBrachos issue, once you're done with the grape juice, seemingly, you no longer have a reason to cover the challah. If the goal is to commemorate the mun, so the way they used to eat the mun, it had dew on it until just before you're about to eat it, maybe even when it's under the spotlight, when it's actually being blessed, when you're actually making the bracha of Hamotzi on it. These four nafkaminas all revolve around our chakira. The way you find a nafkamina, and I'll use it before I move on to the next couple examples, the way you find a nafkamina is you can isolate a chakira. There's two possible reasons, reason X and reason Y. X's, one svara, Y is another svara. When you can isolate and find a case where you only have reason X and not reason Y, or reason Y and not reason X, that's a great nafkamina case. So if you want to find a case where you were looking for a kadimas habrachos issue, but there's no zecher leman issue, reason to cover it, so the mizonos is a great case because mizonos doesn't commemorate the man, but it does seem to fall under the kadimas habrachos issue. The goal is to isolate, find one over the other. Another potential nafkamina we mentioned, just to show how it fits, it would be the other way around. Alternatively, you can find a case where only the reason of commemorating the man exists, but not the kadimas habrachos. For example, an opinion who would say you have to cover it even while you're making the hamotzi, the chayyadim, for example. Clearly, the svara, at least presumably, the svara seems to be along the lines of the man and not kadimas habrachos. Questions, comments, thoughts? Otherwise, we move on to the second. So, yeah, I plan on doing it. If we have time, we'll see if we'll get to it today. I'd like to get to 6 or 7.
So, when you cover the bread and show the halakha,
yeah,
that also cast after covering. Well,
again, if the goal is the zecher leman, if that's the idea, then the answer is yeah, you have two covers. Yeah. Next small case. Here's an interesting case. You ready? Case is as follows, and I'll try my best to work it a little bit backwards. to work it backwards, just as another example. The halacha is if a person, the halacha is that Motzi Shabbos, we say Atachan Antanu in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. Everyone's aware of that. It kind of ends Shabbos. The Saturday night Shmoneh Esrei, Motzi Shabbos, you make Atachan Antanu in the middle of Atachan and Ladam Das. Right? It's Mabdo, Meko, Shachol, etc., etc. What? New topic. That was topic one, topic two. So here's a great halachic situation. Let's say a person doesn't daven Saturday night. What's the halacha? You're supposed to daven twice Sunday morning. That's called tashlumin. If you miss shacharis Wednesday morning, you daven two minchas. If you miss Wednesday minchas, you daven two maariv. If a person forgets to daven motzi Shabbos, when you're supposed to daven twice Sunday morning. One more piece of background information. The halacha is, if let's say a person misses shacharis Wednesday morning, now he has to daven what? Two minchas. Which one counts as mincha? Which counts as the tashlumin for shacharis? The first one counts for mincha b'shaita, the one that's in the present time period, and the one that you missed, you do second. So if you Wednesday afternoon, first you daven mincha, and then afterwards you would daven the second mincha or the tashlumin shacharis, however you want to look at it, you daven that second. Yeah.
So if you miss it on eventually, say it, so you would do sim shalom on the first one, shacharis and shalom
after. It's an excellent question. Leave that aside for a second. Halach l'maisi, you probably do the mincha one twice, but nonetheless, even though there are differences in text, we don't pass in that way. It's a major discussion about the nature of tashlumin. Leave it aside for a second, but the answer is daven two minchas. Halacha. Let's say a person doesn't daven Saturday night. So when should the first? So you're supposed to daven Shmoneh Esrei Sunday morning twice. Where would you think to put the Atachan Antanu? In the first one or in the second one? In the second one, and that's Takah the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. If anyone's interested, it's in 394. What's 394? Shin, Tez, Dalet, Tzivkot, and Gimel. The Mishnah Berurah Paskins, you're supposed to put the Shmoneh Esrei in the second one. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik disagrees. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says, no, it goes in the first one. What I'd like to ask is, what's the Svara for Rav Chaim Soloveitchik? Why did Rav Chaim think that Atachan Antanu went in the first Shmoneh Esrei and not the second? Everyone agrees that the first one was Shacharis and the second one was Tashlumin for Saturday night. What's the Tarot? How do you explain Rav Chaim? No. What? I would sharpen that a little bit and say, when was Atachan Antanu instituted? Was it instituted in the Saturday night Shmoneh Esrei or the first one after Shabbos? Now, 99% of the time, the first one after Shabbos is the Saturday night one. When can you isolate those two different svaras and say, look, it's only the Saturday night and not the first one after Shabbos, only the first one after Shabbos, not Saturday night? The answer is, Sunday morning for Tashlumin is a great nafkamina to this chakira. What we did was we went backwards. On the first sugya, when we spoke about Lechem Mishnah, we said, here's a chakir, two ways of looking at a halacha, and here are four halachic practical differences. What we did just now is we found a machlokis poskim. We had a machlokis as to when you're supposed to do, when you're supposed to say Atachan Antanu. Is it the first one Sunday morning, the second one Sunday morning? The Mishnah Berurah says the second one because the halacha is, it's a halacha in Saturday night, Shemun Esrei. According to Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that's not the case. Rather, it's the first Shemun Esrei after Shabbos. That's what Havdalah is instituted in which case, it's the first one. Essentially, this machlokis depends upon this chakira. The machlokis is basically just a nafkamina, and the svaras, what's behind the machlokis, the lamdas, the kudas of machlokis, is basically the chakira. So what we did was, I'm trying best to show you in both directions, how the system works. You have a machlokis, you can ask what's behind the machlokis, and you come up with two different explanations, two different ideas, or you could suggest, hey, there are two different ideas, and then show how that works its way down, and you find the machlokis. So far, so good? That's the basic system of how nafkaminas work. Let me share with you a few more examples, and we'll try our best to develop more of a sophisticated perspective on a couple more sugyas. So far, so good. People with me? Repeat anything? Good? Yeah. Sugya number three. There's a mitzvah called bris milah that a baby has to have done to him at age day 8. Who is chayiv in that mitzvah? So there's actually a discussion as to where it comes from. Option number one, the father has an obligation to be ma'ol his son. It's a mitzvah avala ben, which is what the Mishnah Kedushin writes. Chaf tes. It's a mitzvah avala ben that a father's obligated to give his son a bris. There's a second way of looking at that halacha, which is, it's not that the father has to give his son a bris, the son is chayiv in bris. However, what? He's only 8 days old. You can't obligate an 8-day-old baby in anything, so what do you do? By default, the father's obligated. Essentially, there are two ways of looking at this halacha. Either the father's obligated in bris milah, because he himself is obligated, it's a mitzvah on the father. Alternatively, by default, he's obligated. Really, the mitzvah's on the son, but just happens to be on the father. Are there any... So, if anyone's interested, the one who discusses this case at great length is the Minchas Chinuch. It's the second Minchas Chinuch, mitzvah base. Right in the mitzvah's milah, the Minchas Chinuch offers several nafkaminas. Let me share with you some of them. What the Minchas Chinuch has the following nafkamina. Says as follows. In order to understand the nafkamina, you need to hear a shita of the Shach. The Shach writes in Choshen Mishpat 382, Sivkat and Dalet. Shin, Pei, Beis. Slows me down, I have to think the numbers still. I'm just going to shoot out numbers in English. I hope people don't mind. You'll have to make it from afterwards. According to the Shach, if a boy is young, it's usher to pass off the chiyah for the father to pass it off to somebody else, if the father's a moel. The father knows how to do it, good. So now if the father's a moel, must the father do it himself if the father's age, let's say, if the kid's already 14? Let's say the kid's 14 years old, either he was sick for 14 years or just not from for 14 years, and they became Baal Tshuva, and as he became Baal Tshuva, the father became a moel. Whatever the case is. I don't know why you want to... Some Russian case. I don't know. They become Bali Tshuva. The father does bris milah to everyone. His son was a little bit rebellious. Now he does Tshuva. Child gets brought to the Rav. So the Rav says, if the mitzvah is on the son, the father can pass it off to anyone. Have the mitzvah on the father, got to do it himself. Or another case. There's a halacha that after... I'm sorry. Let's say the case is as follows. Let's say the son is 13 years old and he wants to pay for the bris himself. Who halachically has the... If they're fighting over it, who halachically has the right or responsibility? The right and responsibility to pay for the bris. The answer is whoever's chayvin. If the mitzvah is returned back to the father, reverts back to the father when he turns 13, then what? The father, if not, remains to the son. Now ask me number three, and there's a quick one as well. There's a halacha that the Sma Paskins in Shulchan Aruch, 382, Sifkat and Zion, 3827, who believes that if, let's say, I steal a mitzvah from you, I owe you 10 zehuvim kesef, I owe you 10 zehuvim of money, $10. So if, let's say, I come along and steal the bris milah, whatever the case may be, who do I owe the money to? Either or the son. Here they get a little more interesting. One second. Another one would be, would the father still make the bracha of lachniso bevriso shalav mavino, or would the son make it? After bris milah is the bracha of al mitzvah milah. Is the second bracha lachnisa bris milah shalav mavinu. Who makes that bracha if the kid's 14? Again, if it's a mitzvah on the father, mitzvah on the son. So those are a couple of quick nafkamim. Let me just show you some of the shitos that who says what, and I'll take your questions in a second. The Minchas Chinuch over here claims that this machlok is actually machlok between the Sefer HaChinuch and Tosfos. The Sefer HaChinuch says, the Lashon Milas HaKtanim. The Minchas Chinuch from that Lashon of Milas HaKtanim is Medayik, that the Chiv is on the father when there's a son is a Katan only, but really it's the Katan's Chiv. Fundamentally, the Chiv belongs in the Katan because it's Milas HaKtanim. However, technically, it goes to the father and comes back. That's the deal the Minchas Chinuch makes from the Sefer HaChinuch. If anyone's interested, the footnote on the Sefer HaChinuch, I don't even know who wrote it, makes a similar deal in the Rambam. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos in the end of the 19th parak of Masechet Shabbos, right? Once the boy is grown up, the mitzvah is on him alone. That's the implication. Again, sounds like the mitzvah is only temporarily on the father and reverts back to the son. However, says the Minchas Chinuch, Tosfos disagrees, and this is a little more complicated, so stick with me. Tosfos in Masechet Kedushin on Daf Chav Tesmin Aleph writes as follows. Take a step back and give you the Gemara. The Gemara there is analyzing the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the mitzvah is really Avala Ben. The mitzvah is on the father to do to his son. But women are pater. So the Gemara says, how do you know women are pater? Anyone know what the Gemara says? Nope. Gemara makes a special Xeris HaKasiv. Oso velo Osa. You learned it, but it's good that we're refreshing. The mitzvah is on Oso, and not Oso, women are parts. Tosis has a great kasha. All the Rishonim, the Rambani has the Ritz Fairs, Tosis, all the Rishonim ask. Tosis read, Oso, velo Oso, what do I need a pasuk for? I should be part of, women should be part of because of mitzvah saseh, shazman grama. You can't do bris milah on day 4, you can't do it before the baby's born, you can't do it day 6, you can't do it at night. At least, says Tosfos, you can't do it day 4, day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. You cannot do it. So therefore, what is it? It's a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. That's Tosfos' Kasha. And therefore, why does the Gemara seemingly bring the wrong Makor when it has a better Makor to bring? It should have brought mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. It should need Oso velo Osa. Psukim are better than the Rabbanim principles, but if you have a Daraisa principle, let's find the pasuk to teach us Oso velo something else. The drasha shouldn't have to teach me something that's already understood mid Daraisa. Tosfos answers that it's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama because the Chiyuv kicks in on day 8 and lasts forever. Since it's eternal, since it lasts forever, what? It's not a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. What's Minchas Chinuch Diuk? Can you draw any conclusions from this Tosfos? So says Minchas Chinuch, sure you can. I'll tell it to you what it is. The mitzvah is eternally placed on the son and never on the father. Because if it'd be on the son only from day 8 until year 13, that'd be called a mitzvah to say Shazman Grama. It's not eternal. And the Sefer Minchas Chinuch is like, just because it's 13 years minus 8 days versus something like Sukkot, which is only 8 days long, who cares if it's a long time or a short time? That's just a quantitative difference. Ultimately, what we care about is who's the mitzvah on, and says the Minchas Chinuch, this Chakira that he has all these 4 or 5 nafkaminas to, really is a throwback to the Sefer Chinuch versus Tosfos, maybe even the Rambam as well. Next Sukkot. There's a mitzvah come Purim time, which is called Shalach Manas. There's a mitzvah Purim time called Shalach Manas. It's one of the 4 major mitzvahs. The Gemara Maseches Megillah Mechadish Shat Mitzvah. What is the goal of Shalach Manas? So there's a very well known machlokas in Achronim. The Manos Halevi was written by Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkovitz, who also wrote Lechadodi, one of the Gedolim of Tzfat in the 1500s, 16th century. Maybe even late 1400s, I think 1500s. Rav Shlomo Halevi Alkovitz, and you can know it's Shlomo Halevi because if you took every letter, the first letter of Lechadodi, it spells out his name. He wrote a book called the Manos Halevi, in which he wrote a perush on the Megillas Esther. And in it, in Perek Tess or so, Pasuk Gimel, when the Navi tells us, when the Megillah tells us, there's a mitzvah of Megillas Esther, there he explains, was a mitzvah of, sorry, Shalach Manos, there he explains what's the goal of this mitzvah, what's the agenda, what's the underlying theory of this mitzvah. He writes to create Achdus and Reis amongst Klal Yisrael. Haman wanted to say we were mifuzan, mifarad ben ha'amim, we were scattered, we were disconnected, we were far apart from each other. says the Maharsha Levi, in a response to Haman, we display Jewish identity. Alternatively, the Truma Sadeshin offers a different suggestion, Truva Kuf Yud Aleph, 111. The Truma Sadeshin writes, the goal of the mitzvah, he was asked, can I give away sheets and pillows and blankets as a mitzvah for Shalach Manas? He writes, no, because the whole purpose of the mitzvah is to enhance the meal, the Suda. And therefore, we want to make sure everyone has a Suda. So as long as everyone's giving everyone gifts, probably everyone will be covered. There's a chance the person might not be covered. It's not a foolproof system. Nonetheless, the more you give out gifts, the more of food, particularly, specifically food that's ready to be eaten, the more you'd want to, the more you ensure that every person is going to be able to have a Suda at Purim. That lechar is a major machlokas as to why we, and why you do something should depend upon how you do it. I'm trying my best to scatter in a little bit of the facts, a little bit of the methodology. Here's the methodology. If you want to know when you've accomplished your goal, you have to understand what your goal is or why you're doing it. Did I fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manos when I did it in the following way, X, Y, or Z? Z for the English. Or not. The answer is, well, what is my agenda? What's my religious goal? What am I trying to accomplish? So here's a great example. Let's say I walk over to Justin Gage. Justin, here's a glass of milk and an apple. And Justin said, Behorn, thank you so much, but I'm lactose intolerant and I'm allergic to apples. Why don't you give it to somebody else? He says, no thanks. He rejects and says, thanks, but no thanks. Shockingly, the Ramah Paskin Tadjer Yotze. 695, Tough, Reish, Sadi Hey, Sifdal, the Ramah Paskin Tadjer Yotze. And on the spot, the Mishnah Brewer right there, Sifkan Chavdal, quotes the Pri Chadash and the Chassam Sofer who disagree and say, you're not Yotze. How could you be Yotze? The guy never got it. Now, on the first level of analysis, is mitzvah giving or receiving? Is it I have to give, which I did my best to give, or is it he has to actually receive? So the Ksav Sofer writes in 141-2, Kuf Mem Aleph Sifkat and Dat Beis, the Ksav Sofer says this is a throwback to the Machlokas, the Manos Halev, and the Truma Sadeshin. If the goal is to enhance the Suda, he's got nothing. If the goal is to increase and enhance Achdus and Reus and friendship amongst Klal Yisrael, then what? I'm Yotze. Says the Ksav Sofer, it's Gufa Tali in this Machlokas. So you have a great Nafka Mina. Here we've isolated a case where we've accomplished one of our goals, but not the other. We fulfilled our agenda, the criteria of Achdus and Reus. You could put a check or a V, if you're British, in that box. However, if you hold like the Manos Halevi, so Justin Gage didn't get any food, and I'm not Yotze. What's the minimum amount I have to give for Shalach Manos?
There are no possible guests at all.
You mean Lahalach Lamaisa?
Yeah.
I imagine most posting would probably tell you, even though there are good pre-chadish and the chassam sofer disagree, nonetheless, they probably tell you to give it again. But I'm not sure. Like, my nafmina, I guess most posts would probably tell you to do it again. What's the minimum you need to give? So the Mishnah Brura in 694 of Cut and Base, whatever it is, quotes the Ritzvah that you have to give a Sheva Pruta. Well, there's a tshuva called the Shun Chesed Lahavrong, which I found quoted in a sefer by Rabbi Daniel Feldman from YU in a sefer called Bina Bisfarim, writes the minimum shear is a kezayis. A kezayis is one shear, while a pruta is another shear. What's behind this machlokas? If the goal is to enhance the suda, what's the shear suda? A kezayis. If the goal is to develop friendships, you need a chashev matana, a significant gift. What's a significant gift? Some net's worth a pruta, for example, Kedushin. If you want to give over Kesef or Shava Kesef, like the Mishnah Kedushin that pays rights, you can give over Kedushin and your Yotze because there's Hanah there, it's a Chashev gift, etc., etc. Another Nafkamina.
So they don't actually have to receive
it. That's the Machlokas, the Ramah, and the. That's the way the Ksav Sofer explains. The Ksav Sofer offers another Nafkamina. Let's say you give it anonymously. You know, dear Justin, here is an apple and milk. Love? Question mark. Really, like a little heart, maybe like a kiss mark. You know, when we were like in fifth grade, we used to like write them to each other, like pretending some girl. Used to, you know. Unfortunately, we were kind of mean. We wrote to the kids who were like not popular kids. You know what I'm saying? Like the kids who had no chance would go writing to him and, you know, like try to guess who I am. My initials are JB. Like before JB's in the room, and like I don't know. I guess we were mean. The public school, I was kind of the follower in that group, but okay, we did tshuva since then. So So if, let's say you give it over anonymously. The Ksav Sofer argues, and this is somewhat more debatable, it's not so pasha, but the Ksav Sofer explains that this is an afkamina to a chagira. If the goal is to enhance friendship, then what? He writes, no good, because you don't know who it's coming from. Theoretically, one could have said there is friendship because, you know, it's a national friendship. You know, someone's out there nice to you. You're enhancing values of achdus. But apparently the Ksav Sofer felt the friendship was more than just a general thing, but a particular thing. You have to have an address, you know where it comes from. Well, he writes, if the goal is the suda, of course you fulfill jamil. Bas tachlis, the makabla got the food. There's a discussion if you give shalach manas to a katan if you're yotze. Many achronim have an interesting discussion. The truth is this goes both ways, although to me it's pashit one way, but nonetheless both can say both ways. There's a tshuva called the minchas chen, there's a tshuva called the shud beis sha'arim. Both of them I saw quoted by Rabbi Daniel Feldman and Sefer Bina Bisvar, who write that since the goal is the suda, I'm sorry, if the goal is the Sa'udah, you would not be yotze because the cotton is not chayv in Suda. The goal is friendship because, yeah, you can forge friendship with children. There's nothing wrong with that. It's even encouraged. I thought that made a lot of sense, but you should be aware there's a sefer called the Yad Sofer, which is also quoted by Rabbi Daniel Feldman and Ben Yipasvar, who switches it around and says the goal is yes because the cotton can eat, but friendship, well, there's no mitzvah of friendship for children. It made a lot more sense to me the other way. Nonetheless, that would be nafkamina number four to this question. Let's get across one more nafkamina. What? Yeah, I guess so. You'd have to argue something like it's mitzvah chinuch, and the mitzvah chinuch is classic suda, or it's good enough. You'd have to put together some argument like that. I don't know, does vaflecha kamocha not apply to katanim? Interesting shayla. Never thought of that. But I just imagine you're supposed to love 9-year olds. I'm saying, what, you only, you know, if you're being a chulim for a 9-year old, I thought pashtas, yes. I don't know. To be honest with you, I thought both would have been yotze, but okay, both can discuss it. So that. I'm not sure. Okay, let me think about it a little more. Let me get across a little more because I want to finish in a few more minutes. I got plenty more to say over here. I'm moving too quickly for people. I'm moving pretty quickly, but you want to know what? If it sinks in, great. If not, if anyone wants to be recorded, feel free to listen to it again. If anyone wants, Gage is going to have good notes. He'll let anyone need them if they want. If people want to look at my Makomas afterwards, that's encouraged as well. Next. The Gemara Maseches Megillah and Dav Zayin Beis tells a fascinating story of two Amoraim who the Gemara said they switched Shalach Manas with each other and they were Yotze. So like, what's the big Chiddush? You with me? So the Ran says, it's not a big Chiddush. Each person sent the Seuda to another person. I sent it to Justin. Justin sent it back to me. And we're both Yotze. That's what the Ran writes in Megillah and Dav Zayin. The truth is the Rambam Hilchos Megillah Perek Beis Halacha 15. What's that? Tezvav Tezayin. Tezvav. Also writes the exact same thing, but if you look at Rashi, Rashi seems to say something differently. Rashi says, 1 year I hold the gauges, and the second year the gauges host to the horns. According to Rashi, if that's the case, are you Yotze? The Pashta says yes. So the Beis Yosef asks in a bewildered fashion, what's Pshat? How can we both be Yotze if I didn't give him and he didn't give me? We got to give each other. That's the Beis Yosef in 695. So the Lecha Mishnah as well asks Kash, and he writes, you misunderstood. The alternative year is throwing the party, and each one gave and each one received. Justin fed me, and I ate at his house, and I brought along some shalach manas. But if you look in the Bach, the Bach writes an incredible chiddush. He writes, even though we alternated years, if the whole goal is friendship and achdus, you can accomplish that without even doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, which is a peledik chiddush. Says the Bach, that's Pshat Rashi. Because since the whole goal is achdus and reyos, like the manas halevi, so seemingly, that'd be a nafkamina. To be honest with you, I don't fully understand that, Bach. I would have imagined, maybe one could argue, certainly against him, so you have to do the ma'isa mitzvah. Even though we're accomplishing friendship, if I give him a handshake, I'm not yotze. If I smile and wink and nod, I'm probably not yotze. You need a ma'isa mitzvah, but I guess he thought this was close enough. I don't know. L'chara, maybe we're going to be even argued. We've ensured that there'll be sudos from here on out. Maybe you should be yotze as well, once you're being that liberal. I don't understand the Bach, but nonetheless, that's what he says in terms of being aware of the information that's in this relevant to the sugya. That's what the Bach spells out. You should be aware that there's a rumor out there that the Manos Halevi, Rav Shlomo Levi Alkevitz, gave out his sefer as the Shalach Manos itself, in place of food. That's the case. It's clearly not to enhance one suda, it would clearly be. But one, even if you hold the Achdus and Reis pshat, you don't have to. You could still limit it to particularly food. It could be there's a dafka, a particular way to do it. You can't just do anything. Again, once you hold Achdus and Reis, how far are you going to go? A smile and a nod, your Yotz Mitzvah Shalach Manos. It's very difficult to argue that way. It could be that there's an agenda behind the mitzvah, but nonetheless, there's a misgeret. There's a particular structure how to do the mitzvah. any event, that's sugya number four. What?
What does next sugya mean?
If you come and sing a song, you would say very again. I don't know how far you'd go. If anyone would say yes, that would be the svara. But I very difficult to imagine that's true. I imagine I even hint that ensuring you can have a suit is probably more correct. But if I give you money, I don't know what, you know what I'm saying? I don't know.
What's the reason for the Bach?
The Bach said that since we're ensuring a long-term friendship, we've accomplished the goal of Simav Reyes, and what's it called? If you learn like the Manas Alev, you've accomplished that pshat. Again, it sounds like a very schwer pshat to me in Rashi. But nonetheless, the Bach says it, and while I'm discussing this sugya, if you'd walk out of the sugya and not know that Bach, you'd have Swiss cheese sugya, you'd have a major hole in it. Okay, I shared with you the Bach, but I can't say I fully understand it. I could repeat it, but I can't understand it.
So you need a matzah, so like, could you give like many gifts 1 year and then not give it another year?
It's so difficult. You know what I'm saying? Like, if there's a mitzvah of tefillin, so if you write the mitzvah for tefillin, it's to think about God. If you think about God, don't put on tefillin. Now, you don't say like, of course not. You need a ma'aseh mitzvah. So I don't know. I don't understand even this Bach and the Rashi. I don't really understand it, but that's what he says. So I shared with you what he said. I don't claim to understand all the Torah. Even the parts I can repeat to, I don't always understand. I just can repeat it. All right, let's get one or two more across. I really have like four or five more to go, but we'll stop here. I prepared more than I needed. Let's get one or two more. Two more. So far, so good. How we doing? Fifty-three days from today. 51. We'll celebrate Simchas Torah. And if my math is off, Emir Tzashem, there'll be a Simchas Torah like this year, like there is every other year. What do we read on Simchas Torah? What's the answer? Parshas? Vezos HaBracha. It's the last parsha of the Torah. We finish Vezos HaBracha. Why? So the Ran, in Mesechet Megillah, the Ran, not in the back of the Gemara, but in its Chidushim to Megillah, and Daf Lam and Aleph writes, because if you wouldn't read Vezos HaBracha, you wouldn't finish the Torah. And therefore we... Which seems to be the Pashit reason why we're reading Vezos HaBracha. We've read everything until there, and now we have just Vezos HaBracha left, and now we read it, and then we start again with Bereishis. Nonetheless, the Avud Raham, who's one of the Spanish Rishonim, the Avud Raham has a different suggestion. For starters, what's unique about Vezos HaBracha? It's different from any of the Parsha because it's not read on Shabbos. It's read on Yontif. What do we usually read on Yontif? Something that's in Yana Dioma. Argues Avud Raham, this is also in Yana Dioma. The reason why we read Vezos HaBracha is because it connects to the ideas of Simchas Torah. How? What? What's he talking about? So the Avud Raham continues and explains. There's a story in Sefer Malachim, which is found in Navi for those who don't know. Glad you guys appreciate my humor. Sefer Malachim tells the story of Shlomo HaMelech who blesses the nations on the eighth day of Sukkot. Wow, the king blessing the nations on the eighth day? Blessings read on the eighth day of Sukkot? That sounds a lot like, you know, what's going on? The eighth day of Sukkot. If Shlomo read blessings on the eighth day, what's the greatest Torah portion? So maybe you could have said Vayechi, but Vezos HaBracha seems to be another suggestion. There's a machlokas we've shown him why we read Vezos HaBracha on Simchas Torah. The Ran says again, it's because you want to finish the Torah, while the Avud Raham says it's in Yana Dioma. Lamai Nafkamina. So it's difficult to find the Nafkamina because we read Vezos HaBracha. So fascinatingly enough, the Gemara in Maseches Megillah, Daf Lamed Aleph writes, what's the Haftorah for Simchas Torah? So that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Vayamod Shlomo, the Psukim from Sefer Malachim. Nonetheless, Tosfos quotes Rav Haigun right there, Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, who says that's not the case. Rather, we read Perek Aleph of New Rabosai. What's probably behind this machlokes? Tosfos Minhag and Rav Haigun versus the Gemara's Minhag. Correct. If the goal is in Yana Diyoma that we're celebrating, you know, we're reading a Kriyas HaTorah about Shlomo who blessed the nation. Listen, I'll say it again. If the goal, the Kriyas HaTorah is about Shlomo blessing the nation, then the appropriate Haftorah would be Shlomo blessing the nation. However, if the goal of the Kriyas HaTorah is to finish Chumash, well, it's appropriate to start with Yoshua, Perek Aleph, as if to say, we're continuing. This machlokas is a nafkamina to our chakira. Small little shtickle riot to the shtickle Torah. In Chutz La'aretz, when day 8 gets split into half to day 8 and day 9, interestingly enough, we read Shlomo blessing the nation on day 8, and then when we finish the Torah on day 9, we read Vizal Sabracha. So that may be a little bit of support. One last nafkamina. Let's have time for two. Let's see. I really have three more to go. I want to finish by like 20. I have like 3-4 more minutes. Let's see. I had mentioned briefly that there's a Mishnah in Kiddushin on Daf Beis and Aleph that says you can Mekadosh an Isha with Kesef. There are really three ways of doing Kiddushin: Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Either you give her Kesef, you hand her a Shtar that says Hariyah Mekudeshesli. Maybe you have to say it or not. It's Machlokas Rashi. I think Marvin's Rashi on the Rif. And you and Bia, you sleep with her. Okay. That's the background information you need for the following machlokas. One of those forms of kedushin is called kesef. If you give a woman a shava pruta, you're makadish. I mean, she's makudesh, you're makadisher. The standard minhag is to give over a ring, and dafka, a ring without any engravings on it, not a diamond ring. This way she should know how much it's worth, and it's not, you know, she won't be misled that you gave her a cubic zirconia. All right, we always minhag. We give over every marriage we've ever been to, every wedding. We stop doing bia, for, I guess, obvious reasons, to be very inappropriate to the chuppah. And even shtar we don't do. We only do kinyan kesef these days. We always do kesef. Okay. Background information. The Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat 190. Kuf Tzadi Sif Aleph writes the following halacha. Not only could you do kesef for an isha, you could also do kesef for a sadeh. According to Mishnah Kedushin later on, Daf Chavav, if you want to buy a sadeh, there are three ways of buying a sadeh: kesef, shtar, and chazaka. That if I want to buy land from you, I give you $100,000, the land belongs to me. If let's say you write, to Max, write me a shtar that says, by horn, this field has belonged to you, hand me that shtar, the field's now mine, you gave me as a gift, it could be I pay you in addition, but that shtar will create a chalos kinyan. And lastly, a kinyan chazaka. Kinyan chazaka, exactly what that is somewhat debated, but let's say I lock your door, whether it means put in a lock or actually lock it, it's machlok 2 days in Tosfos, so not for now, but I put in a lock, and that's called kinyan chazaka. Okay? Here comes the case of the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, if let's say I want to use Kinyan Kesef for the Sadeh, I give you a pruta. Let's say a pruta these days, I don't know, 5 cents, 8 cents, 12 cents, whatever it is. I'll give you $1, which is a little bit more than a pruta. Says the Shulchan Aruch, I'm kona the field right away. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. The Sma, the Sefer Meir HaSeinayim, writes, although that's what the Shulchan Aruch says, he missed out a very important detail. What he means to say is, if I bought a $100,000 field from you, gave you $1, it must be I borrowed $99,999, and that's the Torah's halva. And there's all sorts of halachas that go along, ribbit, the rest is a halva. Says the Taz, what are you talking about, Sma? It wasn't a halva. The $1 bought the field. A kinyan kesef is a pruta because that's how kinyan kesef works. You don't need the rest to be a halva. We got the machlokas? Am I going too quickly? How are you doing? You following? You good? You with me?
They're about to say kinyan kesef doesn't work for a sadeh.
That's for kedushin, not for a sadeh.
Oh, for...
Nope,
still
works for sadeh.
Are you kinyan kesef for public?
No. For a karka. Justin's right that although Kenyan Kesef works for Kedushin, it does not work for Mashicha. Whether that's Daraisa, Darabanan, Machlok, Rav Yochanan, and Resh Lakish. But leave that aside for a second. Karka, what? Pulling the object, lifting it up yourself, physically moving it, opposed to paying for it. Karka, which is land, we allow for Kenyan Kesef to work. So when I give Max Seidler the dollar, was the rest a halva or not? That's a machlokas between the Sma and the Taz. You look at it? Tied together machlokas? Yeah. When I give Seidler a dollar, did I buy the field or did I only buy it if the other $99,999 was a halva?
You think something like that would be
it? It is. It's just not clear what the Mishnah means, and therefore it's machlokas, the Sma and the Taz. Halva is alone. Thank you. I appreciate you asking me that. Halva is a loan. The rest of the money is halva. So what's the halacha in such a case? What's the halacha? Machlok is the sma and the taz. What does the Shulchan Aruch mean? The simple read is like the taz. Yet nonetheless, it's a machlokas. Rabosai, what's behind this machlokas? What are the two ways of looking at Kenyan Kesef that would trigger this nafkamina as to how much money I have to give him to purchase the land? You got the question? Now, are you with me? You following? Good. Too slow, too quick. Yeah. On pace.
Why is it long term?
Too slow, too quick. You good? I'm going to try to figure this out. I gave this shit a few years ago. I went too quickly. I'm going too quickly again. Feel free to slow me down. I don't like putting too much information, so I try to spit it out quickly, but, you know, I'm going to make sure that people get what I'm saying also. Actually, stop taking notes because I too quickly take notes. Please go follow. I hope so. So, L'chora, and many Achronim say this, I think I saw it in the Pre-Moshe, I think I saw it in a bunch of places, I think it's on the Dvar Yaakov. Many Achronim explain that the Machlokes boils down to how does Kenyan Kesef work? When I give you Kesef, what actually happens? What are the mechanisms of a Kenyan Kesef? And there are two possibilities. Possibility number one is that the purchasing power of Kesef, the shovi, the value of it. If I gave you a dollar, I bought a dollar's worth. If I gave you $10, I bought $10 worth. The reason why Kenyan Kesef works is because Kesef has value to it. When you walk into a store and you give someone a $10 bill, why do they give you whatever you're buying? Because it's not a random piece of paper, rather it's there's value to that paper, to that note, to that money. It's the maybe. Machlok is showing how Kenyan Khalifa works. It could be that money has value to it, or that's and that value triggers the Kenyan. Alternatively, one can argue, when I lift up this pencil, there's a certain formal act which makes a Kenyan. I'm sorry. This pencil or this phone. In American law, a handshake or signing a contract, it's probably even better than a handshake, means that's the formal act that says the Kenyan's done. In halacha, it could be it's a Kenyan hagbah, lifting it up. It could be it's a shtar as well, signing a document, signing a formal document. Maybe one can argue handing over kesef is a maisa Kenyan because formally it's what the Torah demands. It's a formal Kenyan. It's not the purchasing power of the kesef that has koach. It's the physical action, the maisa kinyan, the same way if you lift up, it's a maisa kinyan like hagbah, lifting up the money, giving over the money, mesiras hakesef, and giving over the money is how the Torah prescribed. It's exeris hakesef. The Torah says, here's how I want kinyanim to operate. Give over the money, kinyan skah. L'chora, these two ways of looking at kinyan kesef should boil down to the taz and the sma. You follow? You with me? According to the taz, if I only give him a dollar, the rest has to be a halva, a loan, because why? Because I have to give him, if I get $100,000 worth of field, I better give him $100,000 worth of money, because it's the purchasing power, it's the shovi, it's the erich, it's the value. That's how Kenyan Kesef works. However, if you hold of the sma, even one pruta works, because it's not the value of the money, rather it's the physical transition of the money which triggers the Kenyan. The sma then says to the taz, I got a great proof. You know what my proof is? Kedushin. When you give a woman a dollar and you're married to her, was it the purchasing power that did it for you?
And you're not buying her.
You're not buying her.
I mean, you're not
buying
her.
You're
acquiring a field.
Hang on a second. That's the kasha that the sma asks. He says, I'll prove to you. Sorry. The taz says, I apologize. But again, according to the sma, it's the purchasing power. It's the taz who holds it's the transfer, the pruta, that makes it yours. Right? The taz says you have to give the whole halva. The sma says, did I do that right? I did it backwards. How did I do that? Now, one second. Sorry. The sma holds that the rest is by a halva. And it's the purchasing power. According to the taz, The Taz, sorry about that. If I mix up, I apologize. The Taz says it's the transfer, it's the Maisa Kinyan, the formal makes it, at Maisa, the formal action does it that way. And the Taz says, I bring you a raya from Isha. You want to know how exactly how the Sma would defend himself? We'll leave that for some other time. We'll end, we'll stop right here. I apologize about the confusion. Again, just clarify that one more time. The Sma holds it's the purchasing power, the Taz holds it's the Maisa Kinyan. According to, exactly, the value. Exactly, that's a Sma. All right.